Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 23 through 31. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We would first of all remind you that one of the prime purposes of the book of Hebrews is to show the superiority of Christ and to show the relationship between the law of Moses and the new covenant given through Christ, as well as to prevent and correct apostasy, the falling away from Christ. The general admonition of the epistle is that Christians must hold fast to the faith. The faith, of course, refers to the religion of which Jesus Christ is the author. The book is an encouragement to loyalty and to faithfulness to Christ. In most every book of the New Testament, there is this plea to the believer. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, we read, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Revelation 2 and verse 10, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Dear listening friend, in view of these teachings, there can be no doubt, but it is possible for a Christian to fall and to be lost. And if this is not true, then these words have no meaning or significance. Nor can there be any doubt that God wants his children to be faithful and to live with him in heaven. One reason given in our text for remaining faithful is because God is faithful. This means God's word is dependable. We can count on God to keep his word. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 also states that God is faithful. And since we can count on God, can God count on us? We have a duty in this regard. Now this passage cites three responsibilities of which Christians, if neglected, will render us unfaithful to Christ. There are three duties listed that are necessary to remaining loyal to our Lord. First is love and good works. Now it goes without saying that without love we have no part of God. It is equally evident that God calls us to good works. It is not surprising that love and good works are listed together. The religion of Christ is founded on love, John 3:16. The faith is sustained by love, 1 John 5 and verse 3. Love is more than just an emotion. It is a motivation to action, John 14 verse 15. Love moves a person to do as he ought. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it teaches that Christians are expected to be a people zealous of good works. James 4 and verse 17 warns that the failure to do good is a sin. So important it is for us to do what is good, James says, Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You couple all of this with the teaching of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, Abstain from all appearance of evil, and you must accept the combination of love and good works. That faithfulness includes doing what ought to be done and refraining from doing what ought not to be done. Faithfulness to Christ demands positive good in addition to abstinence from evil. And in verse 25, we are taught the duty of Christians to assemble. Now, some would contend this is an optional matter. But who can say that any command of God is optional? This does not simply teach to assemble on Sunday morning, but rebukes forsaking assembling. Why does this not include each time the church assembles? Well, we contend that it does. And while it is true that being a faithful Christian includes more than what some call going to church, as some very flippantly speak of worship, it does include the assemblies for worship. There is unfaithfulness to the faith when there is unfaithfulness to assembling. Many take the matter entirely too lightly. One of the first signs of slipping and backsliding is the negligent attitude and practice toward assembling for worship. It is amazing that some consider worship a burden rather than a privilege. They act as if they do not really enjoy or benefit from worshiping God. They do not cherish the fellowship and worship with their faithful brethren. Are they not interested in being instructed in the ways of the Lord? Is it too much to praise His holy name, the one who died for us? Where do people get this have-to attitude toward worship rather than the get-to attitude toward it? It is true that we are dealing with a duty, but we're also dealing with a blessed privilege. And absenteeism from assemblies is more than just missing a club meeting. Deliberate absenteeism is a sin, dear friend, because it violates a divine command. Any absenteeism is detrimental, even when justified and excusable, for such things as illness or the essential care of the sick or avoidable events that deprive one of fulfilling their intentions. But to try to rationalize with excuses absenteeism with the trivial and trite things that we have heard through the years, it smacks more of hypocrisy than faithfulness. Many allow the affairs of this life to interfere with this sacred matter. And obviously, many have soothed their consciences and satisfied themselves, but how many really think disobeying God's command satisfies God? One of the genuine problems and real hindrances to the cause of Christ in our time is the negligence of so many who profess to be disciples of Christ in the matter of assembling with their brethren as God has commanded. And how can we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but really, they do not mean it except 1 hour per week on Sunday morning, and not even then if company is coming or trips are planned or other desires crowd in and crowd out worship. Too many have the imitated denominational attitude that worship is optional. But it is a matter not of convenience, friend. It's a matter of conviction. Loyal Christians are never heard to ask, "Do I have to attend every service?" You may not realize it, but Hebrews 10:25 teaches you have left your first love, and you're on your way to totally quitting God when you adopt the belief and practice that forsaking the assembly with others is an acceptable thing. We contend that such a thing is a sure way to fall. And a third sure way to fall that we mention in this passage is to willfully sin. The one who willfully sins commits three errors at once. First, the sin he commits is one sin. Two, he places himself before God, which contradicts the Lord's direction to deny self. One cannot fail in this and be the Lord's disciple, Luke 9:23. And the third thing that he does that is wrong, he violates his own conscience because he is doing what he knows to be wrong when he willfully sins. When we sin, is it because we do not know right from wrong and therefore we can sin ignorantly? Acts 17:30 makes it plain that one can so sin. We're guilty of sin just the same, even if committed ignorantly. But such is more likely to be corrected when knowledge displaces ignorance. But when one willfully sins, it's not a matter of knowledge. It is more a matter of rebellion and defiance of divine authority, and is the deliberate refusal to let the Lord govern life. Will you please notice the phrase, the Scripture says of such a one who willfully sins, he has trodden underfoot the Son of God. He has counted the blood wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. Dear listening friend, can you think of anything more deadly to the spiritual welfare of a person than such a transgression? We're sanctified by the blood of Christ. We're cleansed by His holy blood.
To willfully sin is to declare by deed that which God calls holy to be unholy. A willful sinner has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This is to defy and do injury toward deity with a high hand. And such a one can expect a fierceness of fire and a certain fearful judgment. Those who lived under the law of Moses were held responsible for their lives according to the law under which they lived. Those that disobeyed were punished accordingly. Dear friend, the writer of the book of Hebrews, by inspiration, asked this question: How much sore a punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who disobeys God's law that he has given through his Son? Can we expect salvation even while turning against the Savior? Hebrews 10:35-36 is the plea to every brother and sister in Christ. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So, friend, let us resolve to live loyally and faithfully and persistently in the service to God through Christ, in love and in good works, in faithfulness regarding the assemblies, in refusing to allow self to dominate and rejecting the attitude and action of willful sinning. And verse 39 reasons, But we are not of them who have drawn back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.